This is Bob, Groz, and Tom.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio and streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app and 710sports.com.
Hour number two of Bob, Groz, and Tom coming up at the bottom of the hour. We recap, bring you up to speed on everything we opened the show with. The halftime show coming your way. So don't worry if you missed it. We'll get you back where you need to be. But right now we get a chance to talk some NFL draft with the best in the business. You need to get, if you're a draftnik, if you're somebody that really likes the draft, the Our Lad Scouting Guide is the best there is. And we get a chance to speak to our friend from Our Lad Scouting Services, Dan Shanka, is with us on the Venue Kings Hotline. Hello, Dan.
How you doing, guys? Getting triple-teamed, I guess, today. So we're ready to take on all questions.
All right. We're just going to go rapid-fire with you, just see how you do. Hey, every year the quarterbacks seem to be the biggest conversation, right? I mean, everybody's looking for the franchise quarterback, and we all speculate, does this guy got the goods? Does he have the arm, the mental makeup? Let's do it again this year. Who would you say at this point, in your opinion, is the best quarterback in this draft right now?
Well, to me, there's one at the top, and then there's a little break, I guess, and then you got another one. And for a year now, we've had Baker Mayfield at the top. His accuracy, and this goes for any quarterback. You got to have accuracy. You got to have decision making, and you've got to be able to process information quickly. And if you can't do that, you're not in the ball game. All right. I mean, you simply you see how many times, you know, here's a guy that's wide open, and the quarterback can't hit him. And if you don't have accuracy, you can't play in the National Football League, in our opinion. And the guys that do play, they don't last very long. So, but we got Baker at the top, and then like I said, we got a little break in the action there, and then we go to Josh Rosen because exactly accuracy and his ability to read the field and process information. Very smart guy. He may be too smart, but he's in regards to, you know, he's got a lot of other interests, I think, besides just football, which is not a bad thing. It's nothing wrong with getting a breath of fresh air. But we know Baker Mayfield is super focused. I mean, he's got the eye of the tiger, and he wants it more than anything, so there's no question about him. Rosen, the injury situation is bothersome with the two concussions already and then the shoulder surgery that he had a year ago. And he's missed, eight games or something like that now since he's been at UCLA. And then we got Sam Darnold as a developmental project. Third, funky delivery, really long, keeps the ball down. And, you know, when you turn the ball over 37 times in 26 games, there's no excuses. I don't want to hear about this or that or anything else, but hey, he laid it on the ground 37 times. And last time I checked, you win games by avoid losing them. And that's not his bailiwick. His footwork is like a cow on ice at times. And, I just think he's got a lot of work to do, and, he's been artificially pumped up by whoever. But anyway, then we got, Mason Rudolph, a big drop-back guy from Oklahoma State that is very deep, accurate. His accuracy is very good deep, and, throws the slants and the things like that for a West Coast-type offense that he's out of the spread, so he's going to have to take the snap under center a little bit, but he has done that, but he just needs a little more work there. But very smart guy, and I think that, you know, is he going to be a superstar? Probably not, but is he going to be a good, serviceable NFL quarterback? Yes, I think he is. And then we got Josh Allen up there, who is, you know, the pretty guy at the or the pretty puppy at the dog show, I guess you'd say. And everybody likes those floppy ears and you know, big strong arm for a quarterback and everything. Which to me, a lot of these analysts out there, you know, are kind of messed up in their terminology because he has a strong arm, but he doesn't have arm talent, and that's two separate things. And I've looked at this guy so much and studied him on film, and every time you're hoping he turns a corner, you know, he throws balls into coverage. He does not throw a catchable ball, And he just he doesn't process information very good. To me, he seems like he's a, you know, driving a stagecoach on the Autobahn. He didn't have that look in his eye. You know, the Senior Bowl thing, you look at him, it's kind of like a blank stare, like a deer in light, you know. And you just, you know, that's really bothersome, all those things added up. And plus, he's not an accurate guy. I mean, simple as that. He's not an accurate quarterback and doesn't process information. So, and then we got Lamar Jackson, sixth of that group. He needs work. He made his living at Louisville with his legs. He did throw for around 3,000 yards, and he kind of loops that ball a little bit and things, and he doesn't really throw lasers all the time. He does flash some ability to do that, but he's a long way away from being a starting NFL quarterback. And at least what somebody wants. Now, he might get thrown in there. He gets drafted and the backup, and the starter gets hurt and gets thrown in there, and they might have to have certain packages for him. But, he's a ways away.
Dan, you mentioned that Baker Mayfield's top of your list. What are the biggest concerns that there are about him then?
Well, I'll tell you, really, what I did is I pulled out when I was with the Redskins, I went into Purdue and evaluated Drew Brees, and I pulled out my Drew Brees report, and I thought I was reading my Baker Mayfield report. You know, I mean, their size is very similar. Baker's a little bit taller, a little bit heavier, a little bit thicker kind of guy. Their accuracy is almost dead on in college, and then their footwork is really good, the way they work the pocket and things. Mayfield is just, amazing, the things he does. So that 6 foot doesn't bother me. You're looking at one of the best, quote, 6 foot or a little under quarterbacks in maybe NFL history there in Seattle. And we gave him a second round grade, and I'm still mad at myself for losing my guts, and I should have stuck him in the first round like I wanted to, but I didn't. And I gave him a second round grade, and I loved him at Wisconsin, and when he was at North Carolina State, and, I didn't do it. So, but I'm not going to do the same thing with Mayfield. I mean, Mayfield's the best quarterback in this draft, and, now time will tell on how all these other guys do.
How does somebody in your position reconcile that video, say, for example, of Baker Mayfield trying to run away from the cops? How do you factor that into your evaluation?
Well, what he was doing, the only mistake he made there was trying to help a teammate, okay? I mean, he went in and tried to help a teammate, and I think it clicked in that, hey, man, I'm the one that's got a lot to lose here, not anybody else. But, I mean, that's the way the kid is. He's a walk-on. He won the Burlesworth Award, which is the walk-on a player of the year 2 years in a row. Started his career walk-on two different places, and I knew Burlesworth when he was at Arkansas, and believe me, he would have loved to have Baker Mayfield win that award named after him. And so I think that this is a guy that's got the eye of the tiger that really, when he was at Texas Tech, he went in there as a walk-on and started and won games, was freshman of the year in the Big 12. I'm not worried about him grabbing his junk at Kansas, because what happened? I tell you what, to me, the athletic director should have fired the head coach at Kansas, because first of all, it's a losing program, and you're a loser when you tell your kids not to shake hands with people, and two young kids had a chance to shake hands with the future Heisman Trophy winner or take a picture with him or whatever they did, and they didn't get that opportunity because of the stupidity of a head coach. So I can say that I've been at Kansas, and if they're scraping out the bottom of the barrel now since I've been there. I mean, at least we went to some bowl game stuff when, I was there. But, that was ridiculous there. But anyway, this planting of the flag at the SC, hey, that's the least of the problems of NFL guys. I mean, you go study 70% of the people in the National Football League, and believe me, they got a lot of garbage in their background than, Baker Mayfield ever thought of having.
Hey, what's your take on Rosen? Just the knock on him is the edge that he comes with, the attitude that some feel could be problematic. I've heard others say he's the most NFL ready. He seems to have a ton of confidence in himself, as you've heard in interviews and things like that. What, how detrimental is that, if at all, to teams that are looking at him?
Well, like I said, he's a real smart guy. I mean, like I said, you're too smart. You know, I mean, he might be. But the thing that we're looking at is his ability to be accurate when he throws the ball, and he is. He's a very accurate guy. And, I mean, he's picturesque when he throws the ball. I mean, he's classic. He's got his feet under him. His shoulders are square, and, you know, he steps right into his throws, and he does have a strong arm. The only arms were stronger at the combine this year. Allen threw 62 miles an hour on the radar gun, and Mayfield was 60, and Rosen was 59. So, you know, they're all kind of bunched right there together. And I think Rosen is recognize him if he is focused on football, which, you know, you get a little feel of that when you're first meeting them, but then, you know, when you've got individual meetings and things that you have your different groups of your coaches, your coordinators, and your owner and things like that, talking to them, and because he is a sharp guy, great on the blackboard, processes information quickly. You want somebody hungry. You know, you want somebody, Russell Wilson, that's, you know, he does everything he can to make himself better. Drew Brees, Tom Brady, and I mean, I evaluated all those guys and wrote reports on them, and they were all just really focused like Mayfield. I mean, they didn't have, you know, maybe some, you know, the planting of the, you know, of course, they came out at a little bit different time, too. And nowadays, everything's kind of blown up and stuff. But, you know, I know Russell, you know, would never imagine seeing him do a few of those things. But that doesn't matter because he wasn't a walk-on either. He was a heck of a baseball player and got a lot of accolades. And, hey, Mayfield, who's just a blue collar kid that is scraping and scraped for everything he ever had. So, you know, sometimes those guys, hey, Pete Rose got in big trouble like that. And he was one of the greatest baseball players of all time, but people didn't like some of the stuff that he did. And although that's a little more extreme than Mayfield, but it's just some of those blue collar tough guys that happens, you know.
Let's talk about the Seahawks a little bit. One thing that they've always done in the past is trade down out of the first round. Do you think they're going to do that this year? And if not, who do you see them going after at number 18?
Well, you know, I hope they continue to build that offensive line because the offensive line coach there, Mike Slaury, was there previously, and he's a terrific offensive line coach. And I think that you know, if they build that offensive line up in there and protect Russell, that's the most important thing. You got to protect the franchise quarterback. But there, I think the thing is that Seattle could take the best available player because I think they can use help at they could still use help at corner. They can use help, up front and rotate an offensive line. Another receiver, if they feel like a receiver, a tight end. I mean, you know, a running back. There's running backs that will probably go in the second round that will really help the Seahawks. But, you know, I think that there's just a variety of ways that that they could go. And, now it might be another pass rusher, you know, like Sam Hubbard. A lot of people don't talk about Sam at 18, but there's another blue-collar tough guy that really works hard against the quarterback. Some people like Davenport, but he's not as mature and is not as far along as Hubbard. Hubbard's just his hand, his use of hands is just tremendous. So, it could go in a lot of different directions. I know they would like to go maybe defense because that's where they hang their hat. But, you know, if they could get an offensive lineman in there that would help, I think that'd be important too.
We'll probably be keeping an eye on a guy like Vita Vea. How is he being viewed right now, just as far as maybe some of his strengths and weaknesses?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, he wouldn't have a long drive if he was taking much. I don't know that he'll be there at 18, though. We really like him. Powerful guy. Too bad he had that tweak in the hammy at the combine because he ran with a 5.10. I mean, 347 pounds. To run that is incredible. Really moves well tackle. I mean, he's probably more ideal as a nose tackle, but, you know, everybody's got that in their package. They'll put a big guy like that against the center there, and then he can blow gaps and things like. I mean, he'll more than blow a gap. He'll blow that center right out of there too. But very powerful guy, well thought of, and I think he's got a good chance of getting in that top 10. Just depends how crazy people are for these quarterbacks.
Dan Chonka of Our Lads is with us on Bob Gros and Tom. Dan, is there a particular position group in your estimation that stands out versus any other ones this year?
Yeah, I think running backs would be one that really jumps out. You know, there's just so much depth in the running back area. I mean, Barkley is head and shoulders above everybody else, and that you got Geis and Penny from San Diego State. A lot of people like Jones from SC. He doesn't catch the ball great, in our opinion, but he's a slasher, and he can really, carry the ball. And he's not real big. He's around 200, but good football player. The two Georgia running backs, Michelle and Chubb, both tough. You know, we got them in the second round. Kerryon Johnson from Auburn, we got him in the second round. So Ballage from Arizona State, we got him in the third. That's the thing, and Royce Freeman from Oregon, he's going to be probably a third-round guy, and at one time he was thought of as a first-round guy, but he's got a lot of wear and tear on those tires right now. But I'll tell you, he's a terrific running back. So they're just on through that second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. I mean, there's going to be running backs. You want one, you can get any type you want.
What about some of the, you mentioned the offensive linemen rebuilding that for the Seahawks. Who are some of the names there that we might keep an eye out on?
Well, the ones that the Seahawks may see would be a tackle like Colton Miller from UCLA, a very athletic guy. And, sometimes you see these taller guys have struggle a little bit because of knee bend and what have you. But Colton Miller can really bend his knees. He's a long-arm guy. He's very, very athletic. He's going to probably be certainly in that area. Williams from Texas, the big tackle guard guy, he's going to be in that area. That's another area that's really strong here, the guard centers in this draft. Frank Ragnow from Arkansas is he got injured late in the year last year, but he's 6'5", he's about 317, 320, moves really well, and he's a center guard guy. Wynn from Georgia is a center guard. Isaiah Wynn, he's a guard. He played left tackle at Georgia this year, but he'll probably be an all-pro guard, as will Hernandez from UTIP. He's tremendous. All three of those guys be in the area. And I didn't talk about Quentin Nelson because, unfortunately, the Seahawks won't see him. And, he's going to be an annual Pro Bowl guy, in our opinion. But, in the second round, you got guys like Price from Ohio State, center guard guy, and Daniels from Iowa, and Smith from Auburn, and Corbett from Nevada. So there's going to be some when you want some centers and guards, you can get them, I think, all the way through the draft this year.
Hey, Dan, before we let you go, just give me two names. One guy you think is just being wildly overlooked, doesn't matter the position, and one guy that you don't really understand the hype behind that you think is being overhyped, if you will, any position.
I'll tell you what. I think that a guy that kind of being left out a little bit is Rashad Penny. I know it sounds crazy because he was at the top this year in total offense and everything, and our all-purpose running, I should say. And I think he's a lot better than people think. I mean, he's just he got excellent speed and can move people in the open. And so, I think that that's a second round guy, but. If you're looking for another one offensively, is Justin Jackson from Northwestern, a running back there, probably going to go in the fourth round. But at the combine, he had the second best athletic workout of any of the running backs there. So, and then the hype, the two quarterbacks and Darnold and Allen, I think both those guys are way overhyped. And it's too bad because they're both good kids. I think they both want to be really good quarterbacks, but they just got so much work to do. And they're, all the nonsense that goes on about And it goes, you know, every year somebody gets pushed up there and then they don't perform. And I think those two guys are going to have the toughest time.
Dan, as always, we appreciate it. Great stuff. And anybody that wants to get in touch with what's happening with Our Lads, just go to OurLads.com. It's the best draft guide in the business. If you're somebody who's really passionate about the draft, you're going to want to check this out. Dan, we always appreciate it. Thanks so much.
You bet, you guys. Thanks a million.
Thanks, Dan.
Dan Shanka from Our Lads Scouting Services. And it really is the best guide because you get a lot of them that are like a mini encyclopedia. And they're not very user-friendly, whereas the Our Lads guide, spot on.
I found
it's concise.
That. Going through their website, it was pretty easy to
been
use.
Been around for years.
Too. Yeah, yeah, they do a great job with it. So they update, they do their mock drafts just like everybody else, and then they'll update it, version 2.0, version 3.0, whatever. But
I think what he said about Josh Rosen there being too smart, that's you hear whispers about that here and there. I can't quite pin down what too smart means. Like he's just head and shoulders more intelligent than everybody else. He's going to overthink things, or
he doesn't know when to shut up and listen, Tom.
It could be because Maura was talking about, you know, millennials. They ask why. Uh-huh. He's a guy that will ask why rather than just taking instruction, going, okay, coach, here, I want you to do this. Okay, he wants to know why. And he kind of went broad strokes, painting with broad strokes, saying, well, you know, he's a millennial. That's what millennials do. And
I don't know.
Maybe he's leaning into that, saying, you know, he's just an inquisitive guy, asks a lot of questions, he's got intelligence. He demands answers.
Like on the sidelines, he's questioning more. I mean,
well, it made it sound like in practice. I don't know if in the middle of the game if he is. Who knows? But it made it sound like
he thinks he knows it all.
He's a big know-it-all, Tom.
I'll tell you what. Him and Jim Mora are a weird mix. If that's true, all this stuff that he's saying about Rosen, if those things are true, then he and Jim Mora are a strange QB head coach mix.
Sure were.
Which may be why he's kind of speaking the way that he is right now, right?
Maybe.
It's not. I mean, he is giving him praise, but it's sort of conditional praise, if you will.
I mean, he kind of, in a weird way, he reminds me of me, but not always. It's not necessarily a strength.
Which
Rosen,
one? Too smart.
Asking no, not too smart. No, you knew.
Just too intelligent for the job.
Asking too many questions.
I thought that was my job.
Well, you don't listen to the answers.
I'm just firing off questions. Don't care about the answer.
You do tend to do that sometimes.
Not listen to the answer?
Yeah, you just get in question mode and you just go.
Well, I'll listen to the answer, but it just provides more ammunition for the next question.
You don't react to it. You just keep firing.
Stacey called him out the other day on the air here when you weren't here.
Is that right?
For doing that exact thing, yeah.
For asking questions.
Asking questions and not listening to the answers. Anyway.
Well, that was on listens. They just don't have their impact on them.
Well, yeah, when we were talking about their fake girl band thing they were doing. I don't care about that answer.
Okay.
Yeah, no interest in that. All right, coming up, it has been a good season so far. Short, but good for the Mariners. But are they still missing one thing? The Halftime Show, coming up with Bob Gross and Tom.
Hey, this is Danny O'Neill from the Danny Dave and Moore Show. Thank you for listening to the Bob Gross and Tom Show. I'd really appreciate it if you checked out Danny Dave and Moore every afternoon from 3 to 7. You can stream us live at 710sports.com or on the 710 Sports app or listen on demand.
It's time for the Halftime Show.
The half is not over.
Presented by VenueKings.com.
The half is not over. There's 3 seconds on the clock.
Revisiting the biggest stories of today at the midpoint of the show.
The Halftime Show. It's not easy.
Now, here's Bob, Roz, and Tom.
It is the Halftime Show here with Bob Gross and Tom. We bring you up to speed on the biggest stories of the day, things we opened the show with in case you missed it. Then we'll all be on the same page and move forward. And we'll answer your questions, by the way, in about 15 minutes with Have an Opinion Already. Any subject, any topic, just text in any question you've got to 710-710, the Coors Light text line. You can do that now if you'd like. Again, that's coming up next. What are you laughing at, Tom?
Nothing.
All right.
Do you know what Seahawks.net is?
No.
It's a website.
Yeah, it's a message.
Yes. Yes. Great answer, girl.
Correct.
Damn, how did I miss that? I thought it was a band.
It's a message board site for the 12.
There are still message boards?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
You can go on there and talk about, you know, whatever.
Fire
you want.
Off angry stuff.
Right.
With the protection of the keyboard in front of you and your nickname is the only thing that people know you for.
Yeah.
12 for life.
12's rule, that sort of thing.
Got it.
They were saying how they need a 12 to take over the website, to basically buy the website to keep it going. And I responded to them. I said, I'm going to buy it and rebuild it in my own image. Then I said, no, I won't do that.
Did you get any heated responses, though?
Yeah, but it was all in good fun. They said if ego
so
is...
Was it poorly received, though?
No, it was well received. They said if ego is part of the image, then you'd have to upgrade the bandwidth considerably.
Oh. Nice shot.
That is a pretty good shot.
All right. And again, 145 will answer your questions. You can text them in now. 710-710, the Coors Light text line. All right. We open the show. One thing we didn't really emphasize big time was the Mariners' successful road trip.
Why didn't we? Because it's good news.
It's fantastic news. I think it's great. It doesn't mean they're going to go to the playoffs, win the World Series, but it's what you need when this team is incredibly shorthanded right now.
They won game one, 23-17. They're 6-4, right?
Oh, you're going football. Okay. You lost me for a second.
They won week one. They won game one, 23-17, with three starters out.
Yeah, they're playing 600 ball.
Yeah. They won their first game, and then they had a bunch of starters missing. It's a good 10-game. If you knock off the season in 10-game stretches, that was a good 10-game stretch.
Yeah, it's a winning stretch. That's all that should matter. I mean, I know we all want them to win every game or at least be competitive, and a couple of them they weren't. They got their doors blown off. But it's one loss, and I love this lineup. I can't wait to see it healthy. Can't wait to see it when they've got their full complement, when they've got Cruz back in the lineup and Zunino back in the lineup and Healy and Gamble. And then if you get Erasmo Ramirez back would be nice. It would just to see, all right, now how do they look?
You know, if you go 6-4 every 10-game stretch, I think you win 96 games.
I think it may be even a little bit more than that. If you play 600 ball, I think you may win like 98.
I think it's 96 to 98. That would be good.
It would be a very good season, yeah.
Yes, it would be a very good season. I would take that. 6 times 16.
96, yeah.
That's right.
Let's not do math. It's not our strong point. But what I also love is the top of your lineup is producing big time, right? D. Gordon, Gene Segura, Robinson Cano. Robinson Cano is hitting .406 right now.
Yeah, and as much as, I mean, we expect it to, they're probably not going to keep going at this level.
Why?
Cano, I don't think he's going to have a .400 season. I don't think D. Gordon's going to hit in every single game he plays.
He's going to have a 162-game hitting streak, Graz. I don't know why you're so negative.
And Segura's had a couple of big games himself, but... You've definitely gotten an idea of what their plan is and what they thought it would look like. And that's game in motion, base runners, pressure, all those sorts of things.
By the way, we're multiplying by a factor of 16 to get the stats for the year.
Oh, here we're back to
so,
math.
D. Gordon's got 5 stolen bases already. So is that 80?
Yeah.
All right, I did that one right.
What's great is the team has 6. He's got 5 of them.
Well, but that's fine.
I don't care. It shows how great he's been.
I think it's absolutely perfect. He's the one guy who's got the green light all the time and is running well.
Do you guys know who's leading the team in RBI?
I do because I'm looking at it.
I'm not looking at it. Mitch Haniger.
No. How about one Kyle Seager with 9er?
And a home run yesterday.
Haniger is a good call. He's got 8.
Well, he's been batting cleanup.
He hasn't been doing all that well in that spot. But
after you pointed that out, the very next game he came up with a big hit.
That's true.
I was going to text you and go, uh-huh.
Hey, I like Mitch Haniger.
Except I couldn't figure out how to spell. But, I mean, there's a lot to like in this lineup. The questions for me still surround the rotation. We'll see. And Felix was a better version of himself as compared to the disaster he was the game previous. Paxton with 10 strikeouts in his last effort. I look forward to Mike Leake just being Mike Leake, the steady guy in this rotation, so it's all good. Story number two.
Pew!
We talked about the story that came out today that the Seahawks had interest in bringing Colin Kaepernick in for a conversation and or a workout. Then Adam Schefter jumped in and Ian Rappaport jumped in, and the story took some twists and turns, but ultimately, and Bob Condotta, by the way, all chimed in on this saying, yes, that was in fact true. And, you know, initially it was Adam Schefter saying, well, they sort of pushed back this whole thing because Kaepernick said he's going to kneel again. And then Ian Rappaport said, well, that's not exactly true. They want to know about his commitment to football and, you know, what is off the field activities we're going to have to do. Would they get in the way? All that. And Condotta sort of echoed that, saying, yeah, it was more about where is football in your priority list, if you will.
I happen to believe that it's much more about will you drop your suit against the NFL? That would be my opinion.
Which none of these guys have mentioned.
Right.
Couldn't it be both of those things? Couldn't the reason why it was a vague answer be because of the lawsuit? Like, if they ask him, hey, what's your off-the-field plan going forward here? How committed to football are you? He may have been vague about it because he can't talk about the lawsuit, which is probably going to continue.
Maybe they didn't even speak to him. Maybe they spoke to his rep.
Sure, but that rep could have told him the same thing. Right? Yeah. What reason does he have to be vague if not the lawsuit?
Or maybe he's just not sure about, I don't really know. I haven't prioritized, I'm going to go here and do this campaign, or I'm going to go do this fundraising event. I'm going to go here. Maybe he doesn't have.
Then he must not want this job, because if he really wants to be in football, he would have had all that stuff worked out in the event that he even has a discussion with a team. He's not going to just go in and say, "Oh, I don't know."
I think he does.
What?
I think this is all smokescreen stuff. I think that I'm right on this one. I think that the issue that they have with him is
Are you going to
drop? Because it's logical to me. It's the only thing that's logical to me. Tom's point is very well taken. He's had a year and a half to figure out his priorities. He knows exactly what he's doing or not doing, number one. Number two, we don't believe the kneeling thing because of the position the Seahawks have taken in the past on that, unless they've radically changed their position on freedom of speech, which doesn't seem likely. But are you going to hire someone who's suing you? Seahawks are a member of the NFL. Are you going to do that? I mean, wouldn't that be the number one thing? Hey, look, will you drop the lawsuit? Or there's no point in us having a conversation.
Yeah, I'm surprised they're even having a conversation.
Well, they're not yet, right?
Well, they got them. They communicated somehow enough to know that they had to postpone the meeting.
Yeah, you know what? That meeting, we're not going to have it.
This is a meeting about having a meeting.
All right, there you go. There's a bit of what we talked about to open the show. Meanwhile, your questions get answered next. Any topic, any subject, doesn't matter. Text in those questions to 710-710. The Coors Light text line. Have an opinion already? Coming up with Bob Gross and Tom.
You're listening to Bob Gross and Tom.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
This is Have an Opinion Already on the Bob Gross and Tom Show. Three loudmouths, three questions, and one giant tub of hand sanitizer. Right, Bob? Let's get it on.
Let's get it on, baby. This man.
Nope. Try again.
Let's get it on.
Question one.
Are any of you going to the game tomorrow? And if so, will you wear the Gamble hat?
No and no. I'll be there Saturday. Not going tomorrow. We wore the hat for a picture, though.
We did? Oh, yeah.
You don't remember that?
I was thinking that we took one together.
No, they just had each of us individually wear it, and I think they're going to do some sort of a collage.
A collage?
A collage.
I'd wear it, especially if I were cold.
You'd wear it the whole game, just sit in the stands with it on?
Why not?
Be one of the... one of the masses?
Yeah, I can.
What a follower. You're such a sheep.
I can blend in pretty easily with that thing.
Tomorrow night is the promotion night for that?
Yeah.
Everyone's getting them? Well, not everyone. 15,000?
Yep.
All right.
Do you think Ben Gamble would wear one?
He does wear one.
Every day.
Wears it all the time. It's permanent, Tom.
Next.
Question two.
Do you think the 49ers will ever let Richard Sherman line up as a wide receiver so he could try to burn the Seahawks corners with a long go route?
No.
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 Oh, a long go route.
How hard do you think that would be for him to just flip over for one play and do that? I mean, not a go route would be one
probably
thing.
Probably not as easy as a go route.
He's not a burner, first of all. So.
And he hadn't played. I mean, he played receiver, but not for a long time.
And according to Wyman, wasn't great. Watched him a lot at Stanford.
Stanford grad, Dave Wyman. That's right. Well, he was so great they switched positions. Hey, how about you play on the other side of the ball?
You know what, though? Credit Pete and John for being able to identify that he was going to turn into, he was going to switch sides of the ball and turn into a Hall of Fame level player. Pretty impressive.
Yep.
Because usually most guys who do that, you're filling space, right? You're plugging a gap with somebody, but...
Turned out well. I'm going to guess they didn't picture him being what he became, but...
Right, it worked out especially.
There's a little luck involved with that one, too. Good eye for talent. Good eye that he could be somebody who could occupy a spot, but to the level of which he did.
It's more of, let's take a flyer on this guy.
Yeah, fifth round pick.
Next.
Question three.
I've been arguing with my buddy about whether or not the word funner is a real word. I say no, he says yes.
Doesn't sound like a real word, but you guys are tight. You're both at the computers now. We're going to look it up. Funner.
I'm not buying that.
The regular comparative to the adjective fun, the comparative more fun is much more common. The use of fun as an adjective itself is often seen as informal or casual to be avoided in formal writing. It should apply equally to the comparative form.
The definition here is gooder than just fun.
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say funner is not a word.
It is a word.
Is it?
Let's go to the
use it properly in a sentence.
Well, wait, funner is not a word because fun is a noun, not an adjective. You can't turn a noun into a comparative unless it has an adjective. All right.
Yeah.
The answer's no, right?
It's more fun. Today's show is more fun than yesterday's show.
It was more funner than any other show?
It was more, yeah, more funner. Now you're just
sounds ridiculous.
Crazy.
Even if that's a real word, I'm not using it.
No.
Sounds terrible. Funner.
Today's the 25th anniversary of The Sandlot. Where does it rank among sports movies? We're just talking about that in the break.
Yeah, I just saw a picture of the cast reunited on, I don't know, Good Morning America or something.
I wasn't a big fan.
I thought it was good. It's not my, it doesn't rank up there with, like, the Bad News Bears or anything in my mind, but.
No, but you know what? For a movie about, for a baseball movie about kids, it may be number two. I'm not sure how many other.
I don't know how many baseball
like
movies
Angels
about kids.
The Angels in the outfield. Aren't there a couple of kids in that one?
Yeah. It's well, that's a big drop though from the original Bad News Bears to any other movie.
And there's the remake of that one of it, which I actually haven't seen.
But I didn't love it.
Wasn't terrible though.
Yeah.
With Thornton.
Yeah, it wasn't as
Billy
good.
Bob.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you had some
Greg Kinnear.
He had some epic performances in that first one. Epic.
It's classic.
Yeah. But I mean, it was really well acted.
Second one wasn't bad either.
Breaking Training?
Well, yeah, where they go to the Astrodome.
Yeah, wasn't terrible.
Carmine up there?
Carmen Ronzani?
Yeah. You got Louis Tiant.
Huh? Let's see. Yeah, but that kid, who was the kid who turned out to be like 7 feet tall from The Sandlot, where you were just showing me the picture?
Oh, the kid that played Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I don't know if he's 7 feet tall, but he's all kind of buffed out.
He was hulking up above the rest of them.
Yeah, he looked decidedly bigger than the rest of the cast, who didn't seem to grow that much.
Right, and he was a small guy.
They really didn't seem to grow that much?
Looking at that, either he's just massive and they're all normal-sized, or some of them remained relatively small.
Did you guys catch the Andre the Giant documentary? The texter says it's a must-see.
It's another one we were talking about this morning.
I haven't seen it yet, but I'm looking forward to
I've got it on the DVR, and Tom saw it, and you guys are much more into. I was never into wrestling. I know who Andre is, obviously. I know he was a wrestler, but I didn't watch him. I know more from The Princess Bride than anything. So your take on it was, for somebody like me who didn't follow wrestling and his history, that it would be a great documentary for me. For you, you didn't love it.
Yeah, it's a really well-made documentary, good footage, et cetera. But there was a documentary that A&E did on him maybe 15, 20 years ago. All of that information is the same information you get. You don't really get that much that's new, aside from maybe one or two things. But if you're a wrestling fan or you're just interested in a guy who was 7'4" and the type of life that he had to lead, then go ahead and watch it.
He was an interesting character, for sure.
Of course.
His use of him was interesting as well. Like you said, I mean, I'm sure that when I see it, I'm going to think that it's all plowed over ground, because I'm always a fan and actually knew the guy knew who he was, met him a couple times. But that's the problem when you do something about a topic that's already been plowed over. I mean, and he's passed away. There's no new information really to come out.
Yeah, unless you
but
have
you had
something
a new,
new.
Feeling about him
What's
coming
that?
Out of it.
What did I say?
Well, I don't know if you want to say it.
Oh, you know, yeah. Well, I have
well,
to
say it now.
No, I'd have to give you a spoiler. Basically, his condition, gigantism, which is a colloquial term for whatever it was, it could have been helped. It could have been treated, even by the time he was about 30 years old. And he refused treatment. And on top of that, he drank himself into oblivion.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have to die as young as he did.
How old was he, by the way?
I think he was 46.
46?
He died in 1993. I think he was 46. So it made me feel a little less bad for him, I suppose. Even though he led a tough life, it could have been better, and it could have been prolonged, is all.
He could have helped himself out.
Yeah. It doesn't sound like he was afraid it would screw up his wrestling career if all of a sudden he were to stop growing.
Yeah.
So
interesting.
But you can judge it for yourself.
What's the worst job you've had?
Selling glow sticks at a carnival.
That sounds pretty bad.
It was awful. The guy, I had to drive all the way up to Michigan to do it. And the guy who gave me the glow sticks accused me of stealing them.
Stealing his glow sticks?
Stealing his damn glow sticks? Are you kidding me? Buzz off.
What about you, Gross?
I haven't had too many jobs. I've done this. I've sold cars. I was briefly a bartender.
Where were you a bartender? In New York?
In college. Yeah, in New York.
The Pace University Student Union?
Well, yeah, because your drinking age was 18.
That's awesome.
When I was in college.
I've had a million jobs.
Yeah, you used to work in the warehouse. You have your forklift license?
No.
No?
I drove a forklift, though.
You didn't have a license, but you were driving it?
Yeah, they just taught me how.
Time for citizen's arrest. I
didn't even know that was a thing you needed back then.
They never checked your papers?
I had so many jobs. My worst one was the one I told you. It was an assembly line job where we made strips for diabetics to check their blood on.
Oh, God.
It was like one sheet of paper that goes through a cutter on a conveyor belt, and it's me on one side of the belt and the guy on the other side of the belt with a bunch of the strips in his hands that are already cut. And it's me looking at that strip that just got cut in front of me and somehow identifying if it was missized or something and just calling out the number of bad ones. So I'd say 2, 3, 1, 2. And I did that for 8 hours. And the guy on the other side would hear me and he'd throw 2 good ones down. Then he'd throw 3 good ones down or whatever number. And I got blur. It was a graveyard shift.
Oh, God.
By 2 in the morning, I was just making up numbers.
Bob, I'm glad this radio thing has worked out for you.
It was a nightmare.
No, I've never had a job like that.
I worked there for 2 days.
I didn't like working mornings in radio, but, you know.
Like morning mornings.
Yeah, morning drive.
Like 4 in the morning.
I had to be up at 3:30.
I've got a lot of cool job stories, but anyway.
No, I do not.
All right, coming up, how does the Seahawks' interest in Colin Kaepernick change the way we think about the off-season reload? Also, some really entertaining audio coming your way as well. You're going to want to hear that. It's coming up with Bob Gross and Tom.